Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
So glad to see everybody here today as we come to the most significant of all of our Christian holidays, the celebration of Jesus' resurrection on Easter. Our opening hymn is going to be a celebration of that resurrection, Jesus Christ is Risen Today, which is number 457 in your hymnals. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's read together our introit from Exodus 15. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. You have led in your steadfast love the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them by your strength to your holy abode. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, the Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, you have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses to all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm this morning is Psalm 16. We'll read this aloud together. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
The epistle this morning comes from Colossians 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and our kids can come up for our children's message today. All right. right, how's everybody today? Good. All right, this is going to seem a little silly, but I want to show you guys a couple pictures, and I want you to tell me what feeling this picture gives you. A snake? What's that make you feel?
Scared.
Whew, me too. That's a copperhead, huh? All right, here's another one. What feeling does this picture?
Spider.
How's that make you feel?
Spider.
Scared? All right, here's one more. Where are they? They're on a piece of steel. They're constructing a building. They're up about 60 stories in the air, and you know what they're doing?
Eating
lunch like there's nothing going on. When I look at this picture, you know how this makes me feel? Scared. Would you like to sit up there? Oh, man. I think I'm kind of a little bit scared of each of these. We got snakes, we got spiders, we got heights. We could put a bunch of other pictures up. It could be standing in front of people and having to give a speech. That makes people scared. Or all kinds of other things. Some people don't like to be in small places or in big crowds. But you know what? The reason we're looking at these pictures today is because we heard some words in our lesson today that are very important. Do you know what those words are? Do not be afraid. You know, the women, when they came to Jesus' tomb on Easter Sunday, they didn't know what to make of it. They were scared that something maybe bad had happened. But you know what? Nothing bad happened at all. Nobody took Jesus away. Jesus rose victoriously from the grave, and nobody had taken him. Isn't that wonderful news? And because Jesus rose from the grave, that means that death couldn't hold him back, and that the sacrifice he gave for our lives was accepted by God so that you and I can have our sins forgiven and go to heaven. You know, we don't need to be afraid of anything in this world, do we? We don't need to be afraid of little things like heights or snakes or spiders, but there's one big thing that we really know that we don't have to be scared of at all. And you know what that is? Death. We don't have to be scared of it at all. Did you know, because of what Jesus did, because we belong to him, whenever we die someday, do we have to be scared? No. We'll go to heaven and be with Jesus forever and with all those that he's taken to his side already. And that's the good news of Easter. Not even death can scare us. And if that can't scare us, I don't think anything else in this world should scare us either. Would you guys pray with me? Let's pray with the whole congregation. Dear Jesus, thank you for rising from the grave on that first Easter, so we don't need to be afraid. Not of snakes, not of spiders, not of heights, and not even of death. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. There was a poem written back in 1914 by Robert Frost. It was a poem that described two neighbors' properties that were separated by a wall, a stone wall. And in this poem, the two neighbors talk as they walk along their respective sides of the stone fence line together. It's the spring of the year, and as they do every spring, together they mend the places where the wall has been damaged. Sometimes it was by frost that would push the stones apart and cause them to fall, or a hunter whose errant bullet had caused a hole, or other things that had broken through, perhaps an animal. In some places, there's not even one stone left on another. And as they go about their work, the one neighbor wonders to the other one, is it really necessary for us to have this wall anymore? Is it of any value? You see, one neighbor, all he grows is pine trees now, and the other one just has an apple orchard. They don't have any livestock that they need to keep separate, and they don't have any great need to keep any intruders out. Yet year after year, they rebuild that wall because you know what everybody says. Good fences make for good neighbors. Separation, it keeps the right peace and harmony between people. Or at least that's what people would assume. I guess that's how it is in this world, isn't it? Fences and walls all around us almost everywhere. It can be the Great Wall of China or just a little fence that surrounds your vegetable garden. They're all around. Now, our first reading from the book of Acts this Easter morning, it describes a fence of sorts, a fence that existed for a very, very long time. It was that fence or that wall that separated the people of Israel from all of the other nations on the earth. And, of course, it wasn't a physical wall, but nevertheless, it was something very real. And like a lot of walls, it was built first with a good purpose. God wanted his people to be a nation that was separate from all the other nations so that they wouldn't worship the gods of the nations or follow in their ways. They weren't even to marry people outside of Israel. And the Apostle Peter, who we read about in Acts, was a man who knew that wall and those rules very well. He knew what side of it he was supposed to be on. And like one of those neighbors in the poem, Peter probably thought that that wall was the thing that kept everyone's relationship at just the right distance. But you see, one day, Peter learned that the wall had outlived its usefulness. One day, right before we picked up in our text today, Peter received a very perplexing vision. God gave him a vision that on a white sheet lowered down by its four corners from heaven, he saw lowered down upon it all kinds of animals and birds. They were all of the animals and birds that he was not to eat, animals and birds that were from the other side of the fence, so to speak. Now, the Gentiles out there, maybe they would eat those animals and birds, but no self-respecting Jew of his day would ever touch most of them, let alone eat them. Yet three times he sees this vision from the Lord, and each time the Lord tells him, "Rise, kill, and eat." Three times Peter protests. He says, by no means. There was no way that he was going to mingle with anything on the other side of the fence. It was unclean. But three times he heard this message from the Lord: what God has made clean, do not call common. Peter didn't understand exactly what that vision meant right at first, but God arranged it in such a way that it would become plain. There came a knock at the door. And outside of his door were Gentile visitors, and they came with a request. Peter, would you come with us? Come with us to meet an entire gathering of Gentile people. And so the Holy Spirit instructed Peter to go and not to wait. And with that, he found himself on his way to the home of a Roman centurion in Caesarea. He was a man named Cornelius. He was a Roman. He was a Gentile. He was a man from the other side of that dividing wall. And so when Peter arrived at this man's home, he began to understand. Peter opened his mouth and he said this: truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. He is Lord of all. You see, it turns out that God loved both people, people on both sides of that wall. It turns out while he had created the wall originally between the Jews and the Gentiles, he didn't love the wall in itself. And so, more than the frost or more than the hunters or anything else could ever shake things up, God chose to shake things up and break down that wall once and for all. That thing that broke down the fence, the wall between Jews and Gentiles, it began on that Sunday morning. In the early hours of that Sunday morning at the tomb on the outskirts of Jerusalem, Mary Magdalene and another woman named Mary went to the tomb where Jesus of Nazareth had been laid to rest following his crucifixion just 3 days before. But as they arrived, there was this great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and that heavy stone that had covered the tomb with the guards guarding it, that walling off of Jesus' body from the rest of the world, all of it was rolled away and undone. Peter's reflection on those 3 days is short and to the point as he preaches to that Gentile audience that he spoke to in Cornelius' home. He says this, "They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear." Now back in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses taught this in Deuteronomy 21. It says there, "A hanged man is cursed by God." You see, Jesus, though he didn't deserve a curse, instead, as Peter said a little bit earlier in his sermon to those people, he said he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Yet despite all of the good that Jesus had done, there were so many people who were threatened by him. You see, Jesus acted as if there was no wall between people. No wall between the Jews and the Gentiles, between the sinners out there and the holy people on the inside, between insiders and outsiders. Jesus acted as if there was no partiality at all. It was dangerous, some people thought. It led the leaders of the people to fear that if he had too many followers, well, then it might provoke the Romans to come to Jerusalem and even tear down their city wall and destroy everyone inside. And so they put Jesus to death, and they hung him on a tree. They put him under that curse, so to speak. It was their curse. But you see, the curse wasn't all that important. You see, the real curse that was upon him as he hung on the tree of the cross is the same curse that's on all of humanity, upon you and upon me. It goes back to the very day when our first parents rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden. Back then, you remember, God walled off Eden from them as he expelled them with a fiery angel, with a flaming sword that would prevent them or any of their descendants from returning to that tree of life in the middle of the garden. God put in place that living angelic wall, so to speak, as a sign of his justice. But you see, the wall was never meant to be permanent. God put the wall there, but he didn't love the wall. And so God put all of that curse on his son. He was hung on a tree outside of Jerusalem on a bleak and a dark Friday. And for a time, it seemed in the tomb that the Son of God even was walled off from his Father, that he was forsaken. But it was all for a purpose, so that the gates of hell would never prevail against God's people. You see, today on Easter, with that earthquake in the garden, the walls start coming down, don't they? It says they put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day. He raised the very same Son whom he caused to bear your curse, and the walls of the grave are crumbled forever. You see, it means that death no longer has the last word in this life. It means that Jesus' grave, and even yours, is not a permanent place. God raised Jesus, and now all who belong to him by faith, we have the promise and certainty that we too will rise. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You see, when you were baptized, you crossed over from life marked by death to a new and a spiritual life with a promise. Your sins were drowned in that baptismal water, and you rose as a new child of God. You went from death to life that day. And there are still aftershocks from that earthquake on the very first Easter that will continue to topple walls even to this day. You see, the wall that was between God and his people, that angel with the fiery sword, it's begun to fall too. We're not yet back to paradise where God would have us to be, but even in this life, we're able to eat and drink and commune and live with Christ. Not only does he share food with us like he did on that first Easter evening with his disciples, but we recognize him in the church, in his word, and even in the breaking of the bread. We as Christians share in a feast of victory that points us forward to the victory over sin and death and Satan that's a foretaste of what we'll all enjoy when we enter into heaven. It's a feast even better than what Adam and Eve had in the garden. And here's the good news. All of these blessings aren't just for a select few people. It's not for a people who are supposed to be walled off from the rest of the world. Instead, as Peter proclaimed about Jesus, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Everyone. There's no wall that's so strong and so high and so impenetrable that it could survive. You know, the most sacred wall in all of Judaism, the most sacred dividing line, was the wall that was in the temple. It was a wall made out of fabric, really. It sealed off the most holy place from everywhere else. This thick fabric was there as a barrier that no one could pass through except the high priest, and he could only go through once a year on the Day of Atonement. But you remember what happened on Good Friday, don't you? As Jesus breathed his last, that wall, that temple curtain, it was torn in two. He made the greatest sacrifice with his blood, and with that, everything changed. We don't need a priest every year to enter into the holy place to offer an atoning sacrifice for our sin, because the blood of Jesus shed for you 2,000 years ago, it covers all of your sin, and God freely forgives you and me and everyone who believes in Christ. Someone out there knew better than to think that wall had to remain, and that someone is our God. He shows no partiality. But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right, the scriptures teach, is acceptable to him. So all the walls in your life, walls of guilt or shame or addiction or illness or death, walls of culture and class, or walls that would hem us in and walls that would keep us out, they all fall because of Jesus. Everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name, period. Everyone. Even you. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen. Please rise as we join together in confessing our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray. O Lord, you are our strength and our song, and you have become our salvation. Receive our thanks for your gracious deliverance that you've given us in Christ, who has been crucified and risen for us. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, in baptism you've joined us to Christ's death and resurrection, and you've made us citizens of your kingdom. Move our hearts to repentance that we would set our minds on things above and be directed by your holy will. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of the nations, cause your gospel to be spread throughout all the earth. Give us boldness to proclaim Christ to our friends, neighbors, and family members, and give your strength to all Christian missionaries, especially Julie Oftob and those working at Abba's house. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, when doubt and fear weigh us down, console us with the certainty that Christ is risen from the dead, and that he rules over all things for our good, and greets us with life in his means of grace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, lead your people in your steadfast love and guide them in strength to your holy abode. Sanctify our homes and be the companion of those who live alone. Make our households places where your wisdom and grace are found. Lord, in your mercy. Your right hand, O Lord, is glorious in power. So grant that all who are in authority would govern according to your will, maintaining order and curbing evil that we might live in peace. To that end, bless and empower those who serve in our nation's military, as we especially lift before you Christopher Brand, Caleb Burton, Warren Evans, Jake Haygood, Caleb Pyle, Dylan Robbins, Ryan Spray, Byron Taylor, and Eric Vallejo. Lord, in your mercy. O righteous Lord, you have seated Christ at your right hand for our deliverance. Remember those afflicted with illness and injury, as we lift before you Katie Barker, Melinda Bennett, Courtney Burton, Erlen Carlson, James Carr, Charlene Frankie, Myrtle Friemel, Nellie Gonzalez, Evelyn Hoschke, Jennifer Harper, Mark Herzog, Dolores Karish, Morgan Ray Karish, Evelyn Casper, Thelma Kieschnick, John Kashurik, Audrey Koenig, Teresa Krause, Mary Lehman, Rose Lehman, Kevin Margison, Diana Mitschke, Dwayne Patterson, Mary Patterson, Lillian Peach, Victoria Pope, Lane Schramm, Marie Schultz, Raymond Schultz, Laverne Schultz, Wayne Smith Sr., Willie Sneed, Catherine Trevino, Amy Wagner, Darlene Warren, and Nathan Wilson. Lord, give them each health and strength according to your will. Sustain them in faith and a knowledge that for Jesus' sake you will restore all on the last day. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal God, thank you for the victory over death that you've given us through Jesus, and we pray that you would remember all who mourn. Comfort them with the promise that you love them with an everlasting love, and that you will raise them and all your people from the dead. We ask all these things that we pray this morning through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated as the offering is collected. Let's rise and sing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated. Well, we're overjoyed to have everyone here with us in church today. If you didn't get a chance to sign the attendance books earlier in the service, please do so. So we can be in contact with you moving forward. Today we have one remaining event, which is going to be our Easter egg hunt to take place after the service. It's listed at 10:30. We will not wait all the way until 10:30. And we won't be holding the kids back any longer than necessary from that. Because it's wet outside, what we're going to be doing this year is hiding all of the Easter eggs inside the education building. So the kids will gather out front, kind of underneath the big tree, give some time for all of those to be hidden, then they'll get instructions from our Board of Education as to where they're to hunt, maybe based upon their age. So that'll be where we'll be gathering after the service for the egg hunt. A couple of other things just to mention is we do have some full scholarships to Camp Lone Star available for kids of the congregation, so please do take a look at that. It's a wonderful opportunity for kids to go to camp this summer. We are going to be having Mother's Day barbecue chickens, and we've got time to sign up, but today is a wonderful time too. The sign-ups are open through May 6th, and the chickens are always very good. And then on the back of your bulletin, you'll see, well, maybe not the very back, but you'll see a flyer for Holy Cross Warda's 150th anniversary. We have a sign-up sheet for those who will be attending in the entryway there too. It's a wonderful way to celebrate our sister congregation, to go and celebrate that anniversary with them on the 23rd, just around the corner. Does anyone have any other announcements for us today? All right. I'm going to go out on a limb and say also that if you brought flowers to help decorate the church today, I believe that you can take those home with you today if you want to come find the flowers that you dropped off here for decorating the church. I don't see any other hands, so we are going to close with our final hymn, Alleluia, Jesus is Risen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.